You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the emergency edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Pelicans Insider and credentialed member of the media, editor over at LockedOnPelicans.com, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Here with you all on a weekend, like I said, an emergency podcast to talk about the DeMarcus Cousins injury. We're going to cover what happened, maybe what a recovery period is, a plan that we don't quite know that just yet. We're going to talk the playoffs, what this team needs to do in the short term to make the most of this injury, how it affects the long-term outlook, because there are a number of ripple effects that, while we won't know the answers to for a while, we can kind of at least point them out and see what the, you know, aftershocks of this injury might be. And we'll just cover basically everything you need to know for this. Consider it kind of a primer of sorts. If I sound kind of down, it is. And I spent all night texting with people who know things more about this than I do, related to the injury with the team and others, to try and get as much information so we can get you guys prepped for everything you need to know. Look, there are probably going to be some ads that are going to play in here. They're not going to be as graceful as the other times that they might when I have smooth transitions. We're just going to kind of roll through things. I'm not going to really put in many resets. So if all of a sudden ads just kind of pop in, just roll with it and we'll be back to the content and covering this DeMarcus Cousins injury and everything you want to know regarding that. So without further ado, let's just jump right into everything. So I'm sure you know by now, but basically what happened last night in the 115-113 Pelicans win over the Houston Rockets, a great win for the team and a win they desperately kind of needed in a way to legitimize themselves, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Cousins suffered a non-contact injury. There was about 12 seconds left in the game after he was going for a rebound after a missed free throw by himself, and he kind of tried to get the ball away from Trevor Ariza. He landed hard on his left leg. You kind of see it maybe just tweak a little bit, and he kind of collapsed to the ground. He popped back up, hopped on his other foot a couple times, tried to put a little bit of pressure on the left leg, could not, and went back down and needed assistance going off the court. He didn't even go through the Pelicans tunnel, which is closer to their locker room. He couldn't even make it that far, went through the visitor's tunnel to get back to the locker room. So this, we could tell, was likely going to be a bad injury, but none of us on Twitter are doctors, so we needed to wait. He did get an MRI late Friday night after the game, and of course it revealed a full tear of the Achilles tendon in his left ankle. So he's going to miss the remainder of the season, kind of at the least. Obviously, playoffs are out, All-Stars out, all of that's out. Now, the question is, and we won't have an answer for this for a while, is when's he coming back next season? And again, we don't know yet. We're still under 24 hours into this happening, so the recovery plans and how that's all going to work, we don't really know. These injuries usually take a significant amount of time, and according to Kevin Pelton of ESPN.com, players, when they come back from this type of injury, usually see on average a dip in production by about 8%. I would assume he means stat-wise. So likely the DeMarcus Cousins we've all known and loved as a player on the court and a guy who's really helped the Pelicans this year, obviously, and may have changed the course of this franchise after that trade at the All-Star game last year, you know, is not going to come back to be exactly the same type of player we have seen before. Bigs put a lot of pressure and weight on their feet. That's why when they break a foot, it's usually really, really scary. Kevin Durant had that a couple of seasons ago, and it was a big concern. Yao Ming basically had to retire. A Hall of Famer had to retire because he just kept hurting his feet. And when you're that tall and weigh that much, you know, it hurts and puts pressure on there. So an Achilles is not a great injury. Luckily, the Pelicans, you know, for the Pelicans, DeMarcus Cousins doesn't entirely rely on explosiveness, and he can kind of still do a lot of what he does without that. So that's the good news there, that a dip in 8% of his production is not the same as a guard or a wing. So, you know, there's a good chance here that he'll be able to come back and recover and be a very good player in the future. So to recap, Boogie's out for the season. We don't know his recovery timetable, period, what have you. He will be having surgery. We don't know when that's scheduled. He hasn't had it yet. Has an MRI, left Achilles. We all know this. Those are the basic facts of everything so far. So before we look to the short term, I want to contextualize this a little bit. This Pelicans team has not had the buy-in from the media around the national NBA really all season long. They've not had buy-in from fans who were excited, not excited, and just seemed unemotionally interested in this team because of the ups and downs that they've faced this year. For a team that was at the time before this 5 games above 500, there was not a lot of like really in-depth support from casual fans, guys who don't have season tickets, guys and girls who don't have season tickets, and people who are just casually interested in the fact that there is a basketball team in the city in which they live, or state or region if you want to bring it out to the Gulf South. But having won 6 of 7 and now getting the first 4-game winning streak this season for the Pelicans. Don't forget, they've had 4 separate 3-game win streaks, and they lost the fourth in all of those. Now you get another one, and you finally get a victory in the fourth game, and you do it over the second-best team in the NBA record-wise in the Houston Rockets, the only team, I think, that can actually give Golden State a run for their money, and the only team that's beaten Golden State twice this year. This was a very good win for the Pelicans, one that sends a statement to the league, one that was going to send the statement to the city of New Orleans and get everyone on board with this Pelicans franchise. The atmosphere in the Smoothie King Center last night was out of control fun. Everyone was screaming. People in my section were heckling the heck out of some Houston Rockets fans, which was a lot of fun. Trying to high-five them at the end of the game made me laugh a whole lot. This was a team very much on the upswing and looking to do big things. They are at this point closer to having home court advantage in the playoffs than they are to being out of the playoff race altogether. That is a significant step forward for this Pelicans franchise. So let's look at the short term, and the question everyone's going to have is, can the Pelicans make the playoffs? And the good news is, they still can. They're not out of this by any stretch, and this doesn't necessarily completely torpedo their season. As I said, the Pelicans are closer at this point now to having home court advantage in the first round at the 4 seed than they are to being out of the playoffs at the 9 seed. It's not by much, but barely there, which is a good thing. However, replacing DeMarcus Cousins, the all-star, and the production he has this year, and let's go through some of his numbers when I pull him up in front of me here. Cousins averaging 25.2 points per game, 12.9 rebounds per game, and 5.4 assists per game, also averaging 5 turnovers. He's making over 2 threes a game and shooting 35.4% from deep, which is important because he and Anthony Davis do need to space the court for each other. So that's been an important thing, the way they work together. You're not going to necessarily find another big who can do that, and playing Davis with another traditional center, as the Pelicans have done in years past, has not worked out for the team at all. So you're going to likely see a reversion to small ball lineup. So we'll talk about that again. I have numbers on all the net ratings and everything that we need to know here, but can the Pelicans make the playoffs? Basically, what you're going to look at is if everything goes poorly for the team, I mean, obviously, no, but a realistic, not great scenario for the Pels would be to finish basically right at 500, something like 41-41 or 42-40, which, based on how the standings are right now, the Clippers are exactly 500, 24-24 in the Western Conference, and they're ninth. Denver is in at the 8th seed with a 2-game above 500 record of 25-23. So right around 500 or potentially a game or two above 500 will get you into the playoffs. So if the Pelicans can do that, that means they can lose some more games here. You know, don't forget right now they are 6 games above 500. They have a chance to still make the playoffs. The remaining schedule, as I talked about on Friday's Locked On Pelicans podcast, is fairly favorable going forward up until the All-Star break. If you now look at it, there's 10 games left, and 6-4 was a realistic possibility. But when you see some of the teams in the Lakers, you've got Detroit, who the Pelicans can handle. Davis likes going off on them. And a number of other teams, Sacramento's in there. They can certainly still win those games and kind of hold serve a little bit. And if you can go 500 the rest of the way and finish 6 games above 500 at the end of the year, that is a huge victory for the Pelicans. If you go, 6 games under 500 the rest of the way, finish at 41-41, you still have a very good chance of making the playoffs as well. So if you had to put some numbers on it, I'd actually say it's 50-50 with maybe them making the playoffs having slightly better odds. So they're in a good spot. It's not, the future doesn't look as bright for this season. The short-term outlook doesn't look as bright this season as it did, say, you know, 24 hours ago. But all is not lost. There's still hope there. And as we've seen from movies and different things, as long as you've got some hope, that's kind of all that matters and can keep you going. And you know the Pelicans are going to rally themselves around this injury. They're going to try and win for DeMarcus Cousins. You know how upset these guys are going to be. That can definitely be something that carries you and sustains you for a little while. So I'm not going to count the Pelicans out of the playoffs yet, but the short term does become a little bit murky because it puts the Pelicans in a bit more of a bind than they were hoping to be. I know everyone was hoping for a big trade to kind of swing for the fences and maybe make the Pelicans a real contender in the playoffs, given how things have been going, but that was never going to be a realistic scenario. You know, they're only $1.2 million below the hard cap, which was triggered by signing Darius Miller to his contract. And per Bobby Marks, former front office guy, saying the Pelicans aren't even going to get an injury exception because this injury occurred after January 15th. So that's not great either. So the short term then becomes, how do you fix this team? What do you do? What are the lineups and all of that? So that's what we're about to look at here in the emergency edition, the DeMarcus Cousins injury edition of Locked On Pelicans. So with the Pelicans being near that hard cap, they can't exactly take on a ton of salary. They can't really go out and sign any free agents that are kind of out there for very much money. You're looking at kind of the veteran buyout market, which tends to happen after the trade deadline when certain guys get cut and then they can get picked up on vet min deals throughout the league. You've seen this with guys like Andrew Bogut and others that can potentially really help a franchise in the playoffs and kind of solidify some depth there. All along, that's what I've been thinking the Pelicans would do. We've talked about how they could go big wing or guard on the trade market, and it sounds like they ideally had been targeting a wing. You're not really going to be able to do that now. This first-round pick becomes maybe a little bit more valuable if this team should fall out of the playoff race, and it becomes a lottery pick, which, again, not likely to happen, but this pick does become more valuable, and maybe if you've got to plan a little bit further for the future, which we'll talk about in a minute, you can't necessarily get rid of it just yet. So what most likely happens on the trade market for the Pelicans is a minor cost-saving move, and we've seen Dell Demps do things like this throughout his tenure, and he's actually been kind of good at this, maybe more so than anything else. So that's when Dell Demps kind of is going to trade someone like Jameer Nelson or whoever else for a top 55 protected second round pick, a second round pick that'll never get to the Pelicans. It's basically an imaginary thing. Teams just have to send back something in a trade. So with 60 picks in the draft, making a second round pick top 55 protected, unless they make the playoffs and basically win the title, you're not really worried about that conveying to the other team. You get to keep it. It's a way to kind of absorb something in. Now, the Pelicans might need to trade a second-round pick with one of those contracts to make that happen, because if you've got, for the teams with cap space and that might do a deal like that, you've got to give them something in return for using it. Cap space is a big asset in this NBA and the league. So look for them to make a move like that to give them maybe $3 million in cap space below that hard cap where they can sign one of those bought-out players or two. I think that's the way you're going to look at this. I think Andrew Bogut might be out there. I haven't looked. It's early in the morning, and I haven't had enough coffee. And as much as I dislike him as a person, likely that could be a good fit here in New Orleans trying to get a guy like that and get some depth in. No one is going to be able to replace the DeMarcus Cousins individual production. Guys are going to need to step up. And after, well, what we're about to talk about next is those lineups and if anyone can do that. And if these Pelicans lineups without DeMarcus Cousins in them can actually compete and keep this team going. So as I said, all hope is not lost. With the Pelicans having a bit of an easy schedule coming up for the next 10 games or so, they can definitely stay afloat, and it gives them some time to kind of figure some things out. You'd much rather have this trial and error period right now as opposed to when the team is facing off against top-level competition. So let's look at some of the numbers and talk about what's likely going to be the starting lineup in tomorrow's game against the Los Angeles Clippers. An early tip-off here in New Orleans in the Smoothie King Center at 2:30, 3 o'clock, which always, I like early things on the weekend. I'm getting old. Okay, so Anthony Davis has a net rating this year of, I have written it down. Where did it go? Okay, he's got an overall net rating of 4.9. With him on the court with DeMarcus Cousins, he has a net rating of 4.1. So it's actually less than his overall net rating. When it's just Anthony Davis on the court and DeMarcus Cousins off, that net rating jumps, actually. It improves. It gets better to 6.9. Six is usually the level of an NBA champion, their net rating. So having a net rating of six or above in any situation is definitely kind of the benchmark you want, and it looks really good there. So he's got a positive net rating of 4.1 with him and Cousins on the court, and a positive net rating of 6.9 without DeMarcus Cousins in Davis-centric lineups. And we've seen that those lineups have been very good this year. The problem is minutes. You know, Davis has played 1,094 minutes with DeMarcus Cousins on the court, and he's played only 431 minutes without DeMarcus Cousins. So the sample sizes are a bit skewed, of course, and you've got to wonder if these are sustainable numbers with him off the court as teams then are going to try and attack him a little bit more. But the initial numbers look good. So I pulled the starting lineup data for what should be the starting lineup. So you've got a lineup of Holiday, Rondo, Moore, Davis, and Cunningham. The bad news is they haven't played a whole lot of minutes together. They've only played 44. The good news is they have an offensive rating of 103.9 and a defensive rating of 99.8. It's a net rating of 4.2. Basically the same net rating that the Pelicans have in Davis and Cousins lineups. There's some hope there that this can work. Your bench and depth definitely take a hit till you can get some replacements in, which, as we just talked about, is going to be a whole lot harder to do than it would be otherwise now because you don't get the injury exception and you don't have much room to really make moves, and you don't have assets to trade out to necessarily bring anyone of a starting caliber or just above average starter level maybe. So that's the problem there. But the initial numbers say maybe this can work, particularly if they're riding a wave of emotion, hopefully, that can go out and sustain you. That lineup does struggle rebounding, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. They rebound under 70% of opponents' misses. Not ideal. That's one of the worst lineups the Pelicans have when it comes to defensive rebounding. So you're going to need to kind of reconfigure that because you could get burned that way. But again, they go out and they play, they score, they hold opponents to not a whole lot of points, which is definitely a good thing and something you want to see. So, you know, not ideal, but all definitely is not lost here. And there are a couple reasons for optimism. So before we talk about the long-term issues for the Pelicans, and that's likely going to just need to be its own podcast at some point because kind of the ripple effects and the aftershocks from this are so like mind-boggling, and all the different scenarios you can game out from this are not easy, and we need to talk about them, unfortunately, that it probably is going to take its own like hour and a half podcast. But anyway, I want to mention something that I saw and a couple people texted me about last night, and you know, it goes back to kind of what caused this DeMarcus Cousins injury. What caused this injury was bad luck and just a fluke and nothing else. And this is just how things go. You can hurt yourself by doing anything. Hell, I slipped and fell down the stairs on ice when we had all that snow and ice in New Orleans and had bruises for days. It can just happen. That Eagles fan ran into a pole trying to celebrate his team getting ready for the game and not even having won going to the Super Bowl just yet. Sometimes poles just are there. DeMarcus Cousins has played 1,737 minutes in the NBA this season. That puts him at seventh most. He ranks 10th in the league, exactly 10th in minutes per game at 36.2. I don't think his minutes have anything to do with this injury. Jrue Holiday has played more minutes this season for the Pelicans. He doesn't have an injury. The six guys, including Jrue Holiday before him, have not ruptured their Achilles by jumping and landing on it. The injury has nothing to do with minutes whatsoever. Otherwise, at a certain point, if there's a minutes number where you rupture your Achilles, everyone would probably have a ruptured Achilles in the NBA. This is just a fluke thing that happens. It's nothing the medical staff could have prepared them for. Has nothing to do with anything, you know. And before the game, Alvin Gentry talked about how he wanted to get some of these guys more rest. He had planned on playing 11 guys in Charlotte the other night. That's why you saw Omer Asik get some burn and a couple of these other guys get more minutes to give some of these players a rest to keep it low. And he said, you know, I could play these guys fewer minutes and we could keep them at 32 minutes per game, but we do that at the expense of winning. These guys need to be on the court. It's as simple as that. Having lesser minutes or anything like that, none of that would have made any difference in potentially preventing this injury for DeMarcus Cousins. So the long-term effects are big for the Pelicans. And I, like I said, this is going to be its own podcast, but let's at least broach the subjects here and throw them out there so you can all start thinking about it. The first becomes the Pelicans were going to offer him a 5-year max deal this offseason, basically the first second they could. Do you still do that now? What is his value become? And you've got to look at this as weird as it is in the aftermath of the injury. Do you offer him less? Do you offer him potentially a 2-year deal or one of those 1+1s, which might be the best for all teams and all parties involved? Kind of maybe a 1-year deal with a 1-year team option or a player option, kind of a prove yourself deal. Because these injuries, even when DeMarcus Cousins comes back at some point next year, he's not going to be himself. It usually takes 2 years to kind of recover from all of these type of injuries. And again, 8% dip in production. So what does that mean? You know, it's not an easy answer here. If the Pelicans don't make the playoffs, what then happens? We've talked about how Demps and Gentry were going to be safe if they made the playoffs. If this team doesn't make the playoffs now, do you still run them back? Because this is not on them. Maybe the lack of depth on the roster is a little bit on Dell Demps, but for the most part, this team was clicking and you were starting to see some very good basketball. Is it fair to fire them? And what do you then do at that point if that's the case? Or do you run them back and potentially then have a disappointing season next year because DeMarcus Cousins still isn't back healthy or missing part of the year? It's a lot of things are in flux right now. If they miss the playoffs and Davis is frustrated, he doesn't think Cousins is going to come back to full strength, does he start thinking about potentially wanting out? The clock is still ticking, so it's not a good situation for the Pelicans here. You know, do you then maybe try and make a bigger move during the offseason? How do you retool this roster knowing that you're going to get Cousins back at some point in the future if you re-sign him, but you still need to weather the opening part of the season and that storm without him? Everything now gets thrown into flux, and I can promise you as you're listening to this right now, Dell Demps and the rest of the front office are in their conference room, blind shut, trying to figure out what the hell to do, because this is not an easy solution or an easy situation to try and find a solution in. It's a rough spot for the Pels to be in. I've got no answers to this. I don't think there are answers to this, and this team needs to figure it out on the fly. But like I said, we'll game those scenarios out in a future podcast, because right now, let's focus on the short term this season, but those long-term concerns definitely are still there. So thank you for listening to the emergency edition, the DeMarcus Cousins injury edition of Locked On Pelicans. Not a fun one to record, but a necessary one to record. We'll have more coverage of it for you over at LockedOnPelicans.com throughout the week. We're going to look at different scenarios, everything. This is not a fun situation for the Pelicans to manage, but we're here to kind of walk you guys through the different course of actions that the Pelicans might need to take, and of course, update you on any news that you want to hear regarding it. So hopefully this answered some of your questions. If you have more, let me know on Twitter, at NolaJake, or at LockedOnPels. And we'll be having more coming throughout the next couple of weeks, as this is the storyline that's likely going to dominate the Pelicans for the rest of the season. And definitely make sure to tune back on Monday as we recap the first game in the post-DeMarcus Cousins era for the Pelicans. What lineups did they use? Were they effective? We need to know all of this, and it kind of can give us a better idea of moving forward, how this team is going to respond to the injury and what they exactly need to do. So as always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with you all on Monday.